Let's dive in, and there's several things I just want to talk about and encourage us in today, particularly as we are starting off these 21 days. But let's just go before the Lord again. Father, we just come before you today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here. Lord, I thank you for just what you want to do in us in 2019. What you want to do in our church, what you want to do in our lives, what you want to do in our families. Now, Holy Spirit, we just say today, you are welcome here. You are welcome in our lives. You are welcome in our church family. Lord, you're welcome in this gathering time, this gathering space. And I pray that each one of us will be marked today. Each one of us will be marked by your presence. Each one of us will be marked by your love. Each one of us will be marked by you. I was just sensing out whether to pray it at the end of communion or now, but I feel like as we've been in the place, one of the things we want to keep leaning into is in healing. So if you're in this place today and there's sickness in your body, or if there's someone in your life, someone who's around you who, you know, that you'd believe for healing for as well. If you're either one of those people, I want you just to, you need healing, or there's someone close to you that you're believing for healing, I want you just to raise your hand wherever you are. I want you to look around. I want you to see if someone's hand's raised. I want you just to extend a hand towards them. If you're nearby, maybe place a hand gently on their shoulder and just agree. And let's just agree for our church family right now. Lord, we thank you. Just even as we are taking communion today, Father, we thank you for your promises. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. That healing belongs to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, we release healing into every person. We release healing in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that by Jesus' stripes, they were healed. And we just speak a release of that healing now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for just a work in our hearts today. Lord, I thank you for an awakening. God, an awakening that is coming in hearts today, even as we take some time to go into your word. God, that you are awakening us to your call. Lord, that you are awakening us to what you want to do. Lord, I pray that you will, Lord, I'll say it this way. We declare war on lukewarmness in our lives. Lord, we all have areas where we're lukewarm. So this is not pointing the finger at any one individual. God, we all have areas of lukewarmness in our lives. Some of us have maybe more than others, God, but we all need your help. We all need your presence today. And so we thank you in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, that just even over this next 21 days, God, that we are going to reject every area. We declare war on every area of lukewarmness in our lives. Lord, that we will burn for you. God, that we will be burning and shining lamps. God, that our hearts will burn within us as we are in your word. Our hearts will burn within us as we worship you. Our hearts will burn within us, God, as we pursue you. God, I thank you for burning hearts, Father. Lord, burning hearts in this place. Lord, I pray that every wall, that every blockage, that every hindrance, God, to what you want to do will come down. Lord, we just declare it's coming down. The walls are coming down in Jesus' name. And our hearts are open 100% to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Today I want to encourage you as we start on this journey of what we're going to be doing over the next 21 days. And the title of our message is, It's Time to Build an Altar. Someone tell your neighbor, it's time to build an altar. I want you to look at somebody else with even a little more fire this morning and tell them it's time to build an altar. I know I make you get out of your comfort zone a bit. That's okay. We're going to get out of our comfort zone lots this year. Why? Because you're called to destiny. You're called to purpose. You're called to do some great things for God. And that never happens inside of comfort zones. It never happens when you stay inside of your comfort zones. Many of you, I don't know how many of you are here on Christmas, but Lord did something. I came in one way directing for my message, and I felt like the Lord just really moved it in a very powerful way that even for myself caught me. But we were talking about from the example of Mary that she followed the call and not just comfort. And that's really a word for us in 2019, that you can stay comfortable or you can go after the call of God. And you can go after what God has. And that's part of what we're talking about. And so we're moving this whole thing of we're going to build an altar. Now, as many of you know, through all of the fall, our focus was on this series entitled Heart Check. And we were talking about really allowing God to work in our hearts, to do a heart check. And, you know, one of the key phrases we were using was God wants to work in us so he can work with us and through us. I want you to say that with me this morning. Say, God wants to work in me so he can work with me and through me. You guys were starting to fade a little bit there at the end. Oh, I'll get you stirred up here. God wants to work in us so he can work with us and so he can work through us. And so for the entire fall, we really focused on the first half of that phrase. And our main emphasis was God wants to work in us. And we're saying, God, work in us. God, do some stuff in us. God, work in my heart. Do spiritual heart surgery. And I'm not here today to say that's going to stop, because there's an element of heart work that you and I are going to need until Jesus comes back or we go home to see him, right? We're always going to want God to work in our heart. But I do feel as we step into this new year that there is a shift to continue to allow God to work in us. But I believe God wants to speak to us and he wants to stir our hearts about this part of working with us and working through us. God is going to continue to work in your hearts. He's going to continue to work in my heart, but he wants to begin to impress on us, to move us even forward more and saying, yes, I'm working in your heart, but I'm working in your heart with a purpose. And I'm working in your heart for purpose. Why? Because there's things that I have called you to. There's things that I've called you to in your life. There's things that I have called this church family to. And I've been working in you so I can work through you. I've been working in you so I can work with you. But sometimes the danger for us is we can get focused on God working in us and never make the transition to the place where he's working in me so he can work through me and he can work with me. And this is a year, this is a time for each one of us to rise up in an even greater way into the purposes of God, to rise up in an even greater way into the calling of God, to rise up in an even greater way into what he is asking us to do. And I really want you to hear this morning, because these are words and phrases that we can hear quite often in church, and it can sometimes go in one ear and out the other. But I really want you to catch this morning. God wants to do something in me and through me and with me, but there is calling, there is purpose, there's things that I'm going to step into in 2019. There's assignments that what God wants to give me. There's things he wants me to step into. It's time for me to go. Somebody tell your neighbor, it's time for me to go. As we come into 2019, my heart is stirred that we will individually and corporately go after the callings and purposes of God in our life. It is time. Somebody say, it is time. Come on, say it again. It is time. I'm going to get you guys stirred up this morning. Somebody else say, it is time. Come on, I know this is the 9 a.m. crowd, but the name of Jesus, the 9 a.m. crowd is going to be the on fire, loud, wild, radical, crazy. Somebody's catching it. All right. So anyways, let's go to our core verse for this season. It's Romans 12, verse 1. Now, I'm setting the stage not just for a message today, but really for these 21 days and what we want to pursue in God. And not just for 21 days, but 21 days that set the tone for the rest of the year. And so I want to share with you just really simply today some foundational principles we want to work with. And then I want to talk to you, I want to teach a little bit about what we're going to do over these 21 days and why it's important, why it matters, why does it make a difference. Now, you'll notice in your notes as well, and I'll just mention this so I don't get preaching and forget to tell you, the second page is a document called the F8 Life Goals Worksheet. And so basically what this is there double pages? Did we get two pages? No, we didn't get two pages. Oh, okay, you guys didn't get the F8 Life Goals Worksheet. Okay, a little bit got lost in translation. That's okay. I will make sure that the F8 Life Goals Worksheet is available for you guys and is ready to go. But basically what that's going to be is it's a worksheet that really will help you to put a focus on and to emphasize and to look at your lives and to look through a certain lens of different areas of your life and how you can grow in our focus. And so that's not the major focus for today, but it's just something that you can be doing over the next week or two to help you grow in these areas and what God has to be. Let's go to Romans 12, verse 1. And Romans 12, verse 1 says, "Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices." and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. I love that from the Passion Translation. Let me read it to you again. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred. Everyone say sacred. Living sacrifices. Everyone say living sacrifices. And live in holiness. Experience all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. And what is the key here that we see? The key that I want to focus on this morning, and it's really this one core phrase. The key is, I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices. Family, this is what I believe is a massive key for us over this year, over these 21 days. We're talking about God doing great things in us so he can do things with us, so he can do things through us. I want to stir up just the heart in this house that we will believe God to do great things, that we will believe God to make an impact for his kingdom, that we will believe God that your life has so much purpose, and your purpose is more than going to school to get a job so you can afford to get married and buy a house and have 2.5 kids and a dog and then end up retiring and then dying. I say this to you by saying there's so much more that God has for every single one of us. There's so much more that he's called you to. But if we are going to be people who are going to walk in this purpose, if we are going to be people who are going to live out this call that he has for us, then the call today is for us to surrender ourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifice. The call for you today, the call from the heart of the Holy Spirit, I believe for us, even over this 21 days, is will we surrender ourselves to be sacred living sacrifices? See, you may have been saved, and I'm pretty sure almost all of us have been saved. We've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And if you haven't yet, today is an amazing day to do it. Today is an amazing day to commit your life to Jesus Christ. But you can be saved, but there's a difference between being saved and surrendering yourself to God as a sacred living sacrifice. And what happens for many of us, and if I can be as bold to say this morning, there's many of us even today, as you sit in this place, if we're honest and we look at our lives right now, we have received salvation. We have received a lot of good things that God has for us. But we are not living as sacred living sacrifices for Jesus today. We are not living and surrendering our lives to him. We have received what he wants to give to us. We've received what he wants to do for us, and that's awesome. I'm not taking away from that at all. We need that. That is amazing. That fuels everything else that happens in our lives. But there is a call today, and I want to challenge you to look in your heart, to look in your life, and say, am I truly surrendering my life as a sacred living sacrifice, as the scriptures say? Am I truly giving my life for Jesus Christ today? Or am I just taking salvation, making it convenient, convenient part of my life and still living for my comfort, for my best interest, for what's easiest for me? Am I living as a sacrifice or am I just taking salvation and running with it? Where are we at this morning? And I want to ask you, look in your heart even right now. Ask yourself, am I truly living as a sacred living sacrifice? You know, I love this because the Apostle Paul said, beloved friends, what should our proper response be to God's marvelous mercies? So this is not about a striving. This is not about trying to prove ourselves to God or earn something from God. It's saying, no, when we consider, if you go through Romans, right up to Romans 12, pretty much, it's focused on all that God has done for us. And then the Apostle Paul shifts it and he says, now listen, in light of all he has done for us, in light of all that he has given us, in light of all that he has released to us, how could we not? I mean, there's one translation of this verse that says, offer your life as living sacrifice. This just makes sense. Somebody say it makes sense. See, it's focusing and receiving what he's doing, recognizing what he's done in our lives, but it's not just stopping there and saying, okay, God, well, thank you very much. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for love. Thank you for all these great things. I'm now just going to live my life for myself and use godly principles to make my life better. No, it's actually saying, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you've released. Thank you for, now in light of that, how can I not do anything less than surrender my entire life to you as a sacred living sacrifice? And that is the challenge for today. Again, it's not a trying to prove ourselves. It's not trying to strive. It's saying, God, you've done so much for me. And when I truly see what you've done for me and who you are to me, what less than that could make sense? How does it make sense after all God's done for us that I live selfishly and for myself? How does it even make sense after what God's given me that I don't take it to as many people as possible? How does it make sense after the way Jesus laid down his life for me that I would not be willing to serve in whatever way possible to advance his kingdom? How does it make sense when I know all the great and precious promises that God has released into my life for me not to dedicate myself to his will, dedicate myself to his purposes, dedicate myself to glorify him? See, that's the call. And you know what, as every one of you listen to me this morning, you know it's right. You know it's true. If you are a Christian, there's something in your heart that is stirred by this message, because you know in your heart, we all know it. This is the life we know we're called to live. But what happens for many of us is somewhere along the way, in the midst of the challenges, the rough and tumble of life, all the things that go on, we can, without even realizing it, lose this life of surrender, this life of being a sacred living sacrifice to God, and we can get back to where everything is built around me. I'm not here just to point a finger at anybody today about this. I'm talking to myself first and foremost, because it's so easy to use Bible principles and to use things that God's done to our own benefit and not truly be living as a sacred sacrifice to him. And so this is the heart of what these 21 days are about. The heart of this 21 days is saying, God, we want to set aside this time at the start of the year. 21 is a significant time, a significant number. Daniel fasted for 21 days and prayed. In the book of Daniel, when he was believing for a breakthrough even on behalf of his nation. But again, we're not even into, you know, there's some significance to it, but what really matters is just this heart to seek God. And this heart to go after God. And there's something powerful, we go after him together. But I want to ask you this morning, again, look in your heart, are you living as a sacred living sacrifice? Jesus sacrificed for us. He gave his life for us. We're not trying to replace that, receive that, but he died, and so we can live as living sacrifices. And so my heart is that every person in this church family would be living as a sacred living sacrifice. That would be surrendered. But as we said, if we're going to make a sacrifice, we need an altar. And so that's why we're calling this altered. Because what we're doing is we're saying, okay, Lord, teach us how to build altars in our life. Teach us how to build an altar in our church family in a fresh way. I'm not saying we've never done it. I'm not saying we don't have any of this at all. This is about going deeper, though. This is about going to new places. It's about building an altar in our lives. We're not talking about a physical altar. I'm not asking you to go home and build some kind of funny altar in your house or something in your bedroom. Be like, I don't know, Pastor Brendan, he was off for too long there. I don't know what he ate over Christmas, but this is getting kind of strange. No, I'm talking about a spiritual altar in our hearts and our lives before the Lord. Where's your altar? Do you have an altar before the Lord? Do you have an altar in your life? Is there an altar in your family? Is there an altar in our church? See, part of the altar, we're not just talking about the front, but we're talking about this place that we create in our hearts before the Lord where there's a sacrifice that's offered. And what is the sacrifice that's meant to be? It's our lives, because Jesus sacrificed everything else. He sacrificed himself. We don't need to try and replace his sacrifice. It's in response to his sacrifice that we offer our lives as living sacrifices, that we offer our lives to him. But it's about building an altar. You can't offer a sacrifice if you don't build an altar. Now, what is an altar? Well, an altar was a mount or a table or an elevated place where sacrifices were made. And so, again, this is about creating an altar in our lives, creating an altar in our hearts. There are many different forms of altars in the Bible. The altar was a place of encounter. I want to encourage you to set your heart over the next 21 days that I'm going to encounter God. Not just in a necessary service, even though services can be powerful places to happen. Not just necessary on a Friday night when we gather these next three Friday nights, even though that's a powerful place to happen. But I believe for many of us, God wants to encounter you in your everyday life. God wants to encounter you in your personal prayer times. God wants to encounter you on your drive or your commute to work. It's just if you're on the 401, I wouldn't recommend closing your eyes and worshiping and lifting your hands because the fines just went up for distracted driving. And I don't want anybody to get nailed on that one. But wherever it is that we would encounter God. See, I think what holds some of us back sometimes is we think the only place of encounter can be here in a service, or when we do something like an encounter weekend, or we say, but we need to understand, God will encounter you anywhere you'll build an altar. And if you'll get up early in the morning and build an altar before the Lord, He wants to encounter you there. If you'll take your lunch break at work and you'll build an altar before the Lord, He wants to encounter you there. Wherever you are, if you will build an altar, it can become a place of encounter. Altars were places of worship. I want to encourage you over the next 21 days, it's about worshiping the Lord. Not just singing songs on a Sunday morning, but really living lives of worship to Him. Developing a place of personal worship that's not just singing. It's a heart of obedience, a heart of yielding, a heart of surrender. But that it's a place to worship God. See, I want to, first, we've got to be cautious because worship has kind of become a popular, cool thing over this last season. And it can be very easy to teach as a thing and to worship instead of worshiping God. And I'm not saying that to be anti-worship. I love it. I'll worship with the best of them. I love getting in there worshiping. But I guard my heart because God says I want to build, because an altar is a place of worship. Will we take time over these next 21 days to daily worship? See, what's holding some of us back is things we should be doing every day, we're only doing on Sundays. God wants you to encounter Him daily, so it'll be 21 days of encounter. God, an altar is a place of worship. Let it be 21 days of worship. Altar is a place of consecration. What does consecration mean? Consecration means to set apart as holy, to set apart as something that has a specific purpose and a use. I'll give you the best example I can think of this in the moment is how many people, a lot of us people don't do it anymore, but how many grew up in a home where you still have, where you have, you got your regular plates and you got your china. Everybody know what I'm talking about? You got your regular plates and that's what you eat on all the time, right? That's what you use on a regular basis, but then the china is set apart. And usually it's in a nice china cabinet or it's in, you know, some kind of beautiful glass encasement. And you know what? You don't usually use the china for special occasions. It's set apart for a special family meal. It's set apart when family comes over. I used to get a little annoyed when my mom pulled out the china because you couldn't put the china in the dishwasher. Because it's got the gold leaf on it and everything. You got to wash everything by hand. I mean, it's just, you know, the horrors of it, how terrible it was. But the china is something that's set apart. You don't just use it for anything. I mean, I don't know, maybe what some of you did in your family, I don't know. But, you know, in my house, we didn't use the china for a midnight snack. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like, the china had a purpose. There was, and then I laugh because we bought china. Like, I remember going through our wedding, you know, the registry and everything. We got all this china. And I think we, like, used it, like, 5 times in 13 years or something like that. And the captain budget side, he's like, why did we get all this money spent on this china we're never using? But that's just my captain budget side. But anyways, the point is being set apart. And the point is saying, okay, God, like I'm set apart for a specific use. I'm set apart for something. So I can't just go anywhere, do anything, act like anything, watch anything, get involved. Why? Because there's a purpose. There's a consecration in my life. I believe this is huge for us, but the altar is a place where you consecrate yourself. And so these 21 days, it's setting ourselves apart in a greater way to the things of God. There's some things that other people might run and do that you when you tap into what God's calling you to do, you can't go and do that anymore. You just don't do it. It's not even like you're trying to get in a fight. It's just there's this consecration thing going on in your life. God's been doing that with some of you even now. And you're trying to understand why you just don't feel like you fit anymore in some things. And why certain things just aren't clicking for you anymore. Why certain things aren't working in the same way. And it's because God's calling you to a greater level of consecration for his purposes. And so let this be a place of consecration. Remember, for an altar was a place of forgiveness. Now, God has forgiven us in Jesus. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. But you know, there's some of us in this place, and it really is kind of a connection between consecration and forgiveness. Because some of us in this place, there's some things that over these 21 days, it's time to settle in your life. It's time for certain things to end once and for all. It's time for some things for you to walk into the place, receive the forgiveness that has for you. And as Jesus said to the woman who's caught in adultery, now go and sin no more. But stop letting certain things be around in your life anymore. It's time to walk in that forgiveness. And it's a time to extend forgiveness to others. The altar was a place of forgiveness. The altar was a place of covenant. What was a covenant? A covenant was a solemn commitment to the Lord. A covenant, I could teach an entire message, really a series on covenant. I'll just say this in a couple short sentences. It was the most solemn promise or commitment that you could make that was never to be broken. And it's all throughout the scriptures. But there's some of us today, we've been wavering in some things. And over these 21 days, we need to build an altar of covenant. Build an altar of God, this is settled in my life from this point forward. I'm walking in covenant with you because altar was a place of covenant. Altars were places of intercession. So something we're going to be focusing on through this year as a church family. Because God is calling you deeper in prayer. God is calling us deeper in prayer. There's things that we're dreaming about, praying about, prophesying about, preaching about that we are going to access and walk into as we go there in the place of prayer. But see, an altar is a place of intercession that you'd set aside these next 21 days to be days of intercession, days of prayer before the Lord. The altar was a place of sacrifice. Again, we're not trying to replace the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. It's the sacrifice we make in light of the sacrifice that he did make for us. But that we would truly surrender our lives as living sacrifices, sacred sacrifices. And as we build an altar to surrender ourselves to him, our lives will be altered. Let me encourage you in something here. If you go with me to Genesis chapter 13, one of the things we're going to do through this month, one of our main focuses is going to be on the life of Abraham. The life of Abraham and Sarah, because of just, they're such an amazing biblical example to us. But let me just read to you a little bit from Genesis, about Abraham 13. Genesis 13 verse 1 says, then Abram, and that was Abraham's name before God changed his name to Abraham, which was Abram. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which was made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw the plains of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tents even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram after Lot separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. And I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. Now, there's just two things I want you to see out of this. It says, first and foremost here, that Abram pitched his tent at the place of the altar where he had made there first. But Lot, when we see what he did, he only pitched his tent. In other words, there's a difference here between Abram and Lot. Abram's commitment was first and foremost to build an altar of the Lord. And you see this everywhere through the life of Abram. Once he committed to seek the Lord, once he committed to God, every place he would go, and I would suggest to you, even though it's not said implicitly in every passage, every place that Abram would go, he would first and foremost, before he pitched his tent, before he set anything else up, he would first and foremost build an altar to the Lord. He would build an altar of worship. He would build an altar of consecration. He would build the altar first. But when we see with Lot, especially when they split, and he went to the place even of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we won't even go into that part of the scripture right now. He didn't even bother to build an altar. He only built his. What is the question and commitment for us in this place today? Are you committed, and have you committed in your life, in every area, to build an altar to the Lord? Or are we only committed to building our own tent? See, that's really the question that's being asked this morning. See, salvation is awesome. Salvation is something that we should be so thankful for. But salvation is ultimately still about what God does for us. It's about what he gives to us. And I'm not taking away from that for one instance, but it is so easy to take the promises, to take the blessings, to take what he's given to us, to never build an altar, to go and to just build our tent, to build our lives, to build what we have for us. And see, that was the heart that Lot ended up carrying. He was fine with receiving the blessings of God. He was fine with receiving what God had wanted to give him, especially in his relationship to Abraham and his relationship there. But when push came to shove, he was more committed to building his own tent and to set up his own tent. Well, the heart that Abraham carried, the heart that carried him, because he wasn't a perfect man. He didn't do everything exactly the way he probably should have done it. He went through his battles. He went through his struggles. He went through his challenges. But in the middle of it all, he was committed, as it said there, to call on the name of the Lord. He was committed to build an altar in his life. And if we track their lives as they go forward, you know very well, or the vast majority of us know very well, where Lot ended up. Notice how he pitched his tent first and foremost outside of Sodom. But then in future chapters, when God goes and sends angels to rescue him at Abraham's request, he wasn't outside of Sodom anymore, but he'd actually moved into Sodom. And even though the Bible says that he was grieved by much of what he saw, he still did not stand for what he needed to stand for, and he got sucked in and pulled into what's happening. And because of it, there was great devastation on his wife. There was great devastation on his daughters. There was great devastation on his family. Why? Because he built a life that was only about his tent, and he did not build a life that was about the altar of the Lord. And my heart for every single one of us today is to genuinely look at our lives today. Are we only living for the blessing? Are we only living for salvation? Are we only living for what God does for us? Or have we received that? I'm not coming against blessing or what God wants to do for us in any way. But have we received that? But have we carried it as a heart of Abraham? We say, I'm going to build an altar to the Lord. I'm going to build an altar in my life. I'm going to build an altar in my family. We're going to build an altar altar in this church, a continual altar. And what happens on that altar? That altar is the place that we offer our lives as living sacred sacrifices to Him. Why? Because this is what is just what makes sense. This is what we need to do. See, it's interesting. Lot was more than willing to enjoy the blessings of God. But Abram was committed to the call. Are we committed just to the blessing today? Are we committed to just what God wants to do for us? Or are we committed for the call? And there was two spins on that word call. Number one, first and foremost, he was committed to call on the name of the Lord. So we're not just talking about doing something. We're talking about people who put God first. We're talking about being people who worshiping the Lord, glorifying the Lord is our number one priority. Living for Him is our number one priority. And then we're committed to the call that He has for us. And I'm walking this line this morning because I love each one of you and I want to see you live out the fullness of what God has for you. But my heart is so gripped this morning in saying how many of us in this place are just living in the blessing. But we're not building an altar. Right? If coming here on Sunday, which I'm glad you're here, you could be a lot of places, but if this is the extent of your Christianity this morning, I would suggest to you that you're just pitching your tent. You're not building an altar. But God was calling you to bring change to that. God is calling us to bring change. And you know what? For every one of us today, there are places in our life where we're still just pitching our tent rather than building an altar. Where's our prayer? And I'd humbly plead with you today. It's time to rise up to the higher things that God has. It's time to go into the deeper things that God has. It's time for Jesus not just to be a convenient part of your life that gives you salvation, and it's time for Jesus to be our lives in every way. And each one of us can respond to this call. There's none of us that are perfect in this way. And so that's what this is about. This is about building an altar to the Lord. Are we committed to our comfort or are we committed to the call? Calling on the name of the Lord, first and foremost. But number two, the call that He has for our lives. You know, it's interesting. Most people I talk to, most people I interact with, I know in my life, they want to walk out the call of God. I don't meet a lot of Christians who are just like, I don't care. I don't want to walk out the call of God in my life. Most people have a desire to, but many people are frustrated because they just don't know how to do it. They don't know, how do I get there? Where do I go? They're swamped and overwhelmed by life. And so that's why we've got to learn how to build the altar in the middle of everything, because the altar is the place of offering sacrifice. The altar is the place. And it's not just like a specific object. It's a heart attitude. It's a lifestyle. It's a way we live where the altar of the Lord is first in our lives. And as we build the altar, that is when we are altered and we are changed. As we build an altar, that's when our families are altered and changed. As we build an altar, that's how our church is altered and changed. It's not by gritting our teeth, flexing our muscles, and say, okay, guys, come on, we got to do this. Let's make this. No, it's as we build an altar and we come to the Lord and we say, okay, God, we're setting aside. We're putting you first. We're coming for a place of encounter. We're coming to worship. We're coming to consecrate ourselves. We're coming to receive and give forgiveness. We're coming to make a fresh covenant. We're coming to be people of intercession and people of prayer. We're coming in our very best way to give our lives as living sacrifices. As we do that, that is when everything else begins to come into place. It's interesting. You want to be about the call, but the key is not to pursue the call. The key is to build an altar. And if you build and live with this altar, you will walk in the call. And so just really practically, as we bring this to a close, because I wanted to make sure we understood what we're doing, we're setting aside this time together to call on the name of the Lord. Because that's really what altar is all about, right? When Abraham would go and he'd build an altar, what he was doing was he's saying, my first priority is to build a place of worship, to build a place of sacrifice, and then everything else will revolve around this. I'm going to build somewhere where I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. For him, it was a physical altar. Again, for us, we're not talking about building physical altars. We're talking about building a priority and a place in our life where He is first. And so there's some things that we want to do over the next 21 days together, because there's power in doing it together, to build this altar. We're going to build an altar, and we are going to be altered. Amen? Someone tell your neighbor, we're going to build an altar. And tell them, and we are going to be altered. So first and foremost, we're going to fast. Everyone say fast. Now, this is an exciting thing for many of us. I'm excited, and I'm not excited at all. But fasting is to abstain from something with a particular focus on seeking God. Let's talk about this for a moment. Why does this matter so much? What is the deeper meaning between fasting besides losing that Christmas weight that we put on because we ate too much Christmas food and goodies? What is the deeper purpose? Well, first and foremost, I want to make it really clear this morning. Fasting doesn't change God. We're not fasting to try and get God to do something. We're not fasting to try and make God hear us. We're not fasting so God will look at us and go, oh, wow, look, they're doing something really big. I should do something for them. No, fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes us. Fasting shifts and aligns us. We're the ones who need changing, not God. We're the one who need transformation, not God. And so when we lay something down or we abstain from something, particularly something that matters to us or is important to us, while it's difficult, what it does is it constantly puts our focus and attention back on God. Because we go to something that we usually go to as part of our regular life. We go, oh, I can't do that right now. Or I'm not going to eat that right now. Or I'm not going to watch that right now. And that immediately goes, and it's just this natural progression. Why not? Well, because I'm seeking God right now. Right now, it might be a little bit, I can't do that right now. Oh, I absolutely hate this, but I got to see God right now. And, you know, like there's a whole real thing that happens in that, but it's a powerful thing. Jesus said in Matthew 6:16, when you fast, and he was talking to his followers. I want to encourage you today. If you're a Christian, you're called to be someone who fasts. I'm not saying it has to be an exact way for an exact amount of time. But part of what I really want to do this year is I'm going to be challenging this church family every way I can think of with the most love I possibly have. Come on, let's go higher. Come on, let's go more into what God has for us. Come on, let's really live as disciples of Jesus Christ. Come on, I don't want to just get by with just a bare minimum of what God has for us. I want all of us to walk in the fullness of what He has for us. But if we're going to do that, then it talks about real Christianity on a daily basis. It talks about really living for God in our everyday lives on a greater level than right now. He's not just a convenient part of our life, but He becomes our life. We're building this life for Him, and fasting is an amazing spiritual discipline that's part of that. Why is fasting powerful? Number one, because it tunes you in to hear from God. I've seen this happen so many times I've done a fast. I'm disciplining, I'm kind of laying some things down, and I find my sensitivity to the Holy Spirit gets so much stronger. It's amazing how it happens. It's kind of like, you know, remember those old TVs with the antennas? I know some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. You're like, I've seen that somewhere on like some old, I remember we used to have it up at the cottage when I was a kid. And, you know, you had to get the antennas just right. And if they were wrong, it'd be kind of fuzzy. And you'd have all the fuzzy lines through the pictures. And sometimes when the signal was really bad, we'd be like, okay, you'd be behind the TV. Okay, we got it now. No, almost. Oh, no, we lost it. Okay, and we got to move a little bit. Then you get it just right. And then it'd shift again. Oh, it goes off again. Right? Well, fasting tunes our spiritual antennas in to hear from the Lord in a deeper way. One of the reasons why the enemy's main attacks against many of us is busyness. Our life is full with so much stuff and so many things, there's no room or space for what God wants to do. So what fasting is when it's almost like a little bit of a forced situation, but we lay some things down because we say, God, I'm making room for you. And I'm tuning in to hear from you. Number two, fasting is a denial of our flesh. There's a whole teaching we could do on this, but the Bible talks about walking in the Spirit, not giving into the flesh. Well, why fasting is so powerful is here's what happens for a lot of people. They get into a season where there's temptation coming against them, and all of a sudden they got to deny the flesh, but they've never denied the flesh very much in their life, so they don't have a lot of strength to do it. Or all of a sudden the enemy launches an attack and there's all this pressure or there's this sickness and you're getting hit by stuff. And you're like trying to stand and fight. But if you've never stood and disciplined and said, no, I'm not going with what I feel like right now. I'm going with what I know God's saying. I'm not going with what feels good right now. I'm going to roll with obedience to the Lord no matter what. If you don't discipline yourself in that, when you get into a season when you have to have it, if you've never strengthened those spiritual muscles before, you will not have the strength to be sustained. But when you fast, what you're doing is you are placing yourself in a situation where you are saying no to your flesh and you're saying yes to the Holy Spirit. Where you say no to what feels good and yes to what you know is right. And as you do that, not only do you tune in, but you are training yourself for godliness. And you're training yourself. So because it's hard at first. And some people are like, oh my gosh, if I fast, I'm going to die. I can't even imagine doing this. I can't even imagine going without a meal. Like, can you imagine going without a meal? Listen, if you're in that place today, I want to encourage you, you gotta push it a bit and say, no, okay, God, I want you to train my flesh. You're not going to die. Amen. Somebody say, I'm not going to die. And somebody didn't even want to say it. You're like, I'm not even saying it. But see, it's learning to deny our flesh. And number three, fasting is powerful because when it's combined with prayer, it is a catalyst for breakthrough and change. And I have it referenced there fully, but Matthew 17:21, Jesus was talking about deliverance, and he talked about a certain deliverance app, and he said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, it's interesting because he'd just come down the mountain, he delivered the boy, and then he said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting, because his disciples want to know, why couldn't we do it? Notice Jesus didn't come down the mountain, say, oh, wow, this is a serious case. Give me 3 days, I got to go fast and pray. You know why? Because he'd already fasted, he'd already prayed, he cultivated a lifestyle of being before the Father, and so when he needed to make a withdrawal and what needed to make a withdrawal, he was ready. Why? Because he'd already walked in it. And there's some things that you need to fast and you need to pray into now, because when the door opens up later this year, you're not going to have time at that moment to have to go fast and pray and get together. You've got to have eyes of faith and say, I'm going to hit the ground running and I'm going to be fasting and praying and getting ready for what God has. So when that door opens, I'm going to march through that door with all the strength and all the anointing, all the grace I need to. Why? Because I didn't wait for the moment to try and get ready, but I was ready for the moment. And preparation met opportunity, and I walked in destiny that God had for me. That's why we need to fast. There are a number of different types of fasts you can do. I'm going to land this. Pastor Samuel wants to come back. There's obviously a juice fast, which is quite an intense fast, but drinking only liquids. There's a Daniel fast, where you eat only fruit and vegetables. There's a partial fast, fasting daily until dinner, or fasting something like lunch. You know, there's many different ways that you can fast. There's a media fast. Some of us, this maybe is what we need to do. Fasting television, fasting. And if you are absolutely horrified of the idea of not watching TV for 21 days, I would challenge you to check the depth of what God's doing in your life. Now, I'm going to lie, I don't like the idea of not watching TV for 21 days myself too much, but I mean, come on, going after God, we can't even lay something. If you can't lay down for 3 days, come on, guys. That's part of my job, is to stir you a bit. Come on, where's your Christianity at? Where's your faith at? Come on, let's do this. Are we going to live for comfort, or are we going to live for call? Are we going to live for the purposes of God? Is it really going to hurt you to lay down TV for 21 days? I'm talking to somebody, and take that time to pray instead. Right? Like, this is where the rubber starts meeting the road. Will we do it? Will we lay it down? And will we fast through this time as God leads us? And obviously, that's the biggest deal. It's about being led by the Holy Spirit. What's the grace to do? But here's why I do want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to push yourself a bit. I want to challenge you to not do what's easy. I remember one of my running jokes is I had someone who told me once, I'm going to do a milkshake fast. I'm like, a milkshake fast? They're like, yeah, I'm going to milkshake. I'm like, I don't know, does that count? Lord, does that even count? I don't know if it counts. But I guess if they only drank milkshakes for 21 days, I mean, you'd just be unhealthy. But anyways, we won't talk about that. But what I'm talking about is don't go after, if you always, I got to land this plane. If you always pursue the road of comfort instead of calling, you will come to times and places in your life where the door opens, but you're not ready to walk through it because you always took the comfortable road. Right? That's part of what I'm getting you ready for calling. I'm getting ready for purpose and destiny, rocking a greater level. Fasting is a major part of that. Number two, we're going to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, we are called to be a house of prayer. So when you combine prayer and fasting, obedience to the Lord, powerful things are happening. And so I really want to encourage you. So number one, I want to encourage you to fast. Number two, I want to encourage you to take time daily for prayer. Prayer as a family, prayer as a couple, prayer individually, prayer with friends. Especially for many of us, we pray in the Spirit. I really encourage you, take 15 minutes, 30 minutes a day and just say, I'm going to pray in tongues, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. For 21 days straight, watch what happens in your life when you do that. And I really want to encourage you to prioritize these Friday nights when we gather together. Yeah, we live in a big city and we commute and there's traffic and there's weather and all these things, but can we not even set aside three Friday nights to gather together? You know what I mean? Like just that heart, let's gather together. Let's come together, let's pray, let's seek God. I just had a question that came to my heart here. It's at the bottom of this section on prayer. What if the key to stepping into what God has for you in 2019 is found in going in the deeper in the place of prayer? What if there's like all this stuff that God's got set up for you, but he just says, listen, I'm calling you deeper in prayer. As you pray, you're going to walk in this. And so we're going to go in a place of prayer. Number three, we're going to go in a place of reading the Word of God. There is something powerful about digging into the Word of God. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right at the foundation of being a Christian is digging into the Word of God. And so we've got a Bible reading plan that's set up. There's three different options. You can read through the New Testament in 21 days. Well, a challenge again for some of you, take the challenge on. Maybe you've never read through the New Testament before in entirety. Why not? If you're a Christian and we're saying this is the foundation of our life, right? Like I want to challenge you, dig into the Word. Now, 21 days and the whole New Testament might be a lot for certain reasons, so we also have an option where you can just read through the Gospels, another powerful move forward. And even if for you, maybe you're in a spot in your life right now where that's a lot, don't feel like you can't participate, we also have a plan to read through the book of John in 21 days. The key, again, is are we going to sacrifice? Are we going to make this move to do it? But it's getting into the Word of God. And the last but not least, we're going to have a daily video devotional. So this is something I worked on. It's something that we've prepared. And so every day it'll be like a 5-minute video. And what we're actually going to do is we're going to go through Romans 12. So I've started today preaching out Romans 12 verse 1. Romans 12 has 21 verses. And Romans 12 is talking all about an altered life. It's talking all about a life that's being lived as a holy sacrifice. So every day we're just going to focus on one verse. And we're going to take some time in this devotional. We're just going to work through one verse per day. And you say, okay, well, how do I get my hands on these things? How do I get access to these things? Real simple. Many of you have done it already, but just go online and sign up for the Altar 21 Days of Transformation campaign. It's right there on the front page of the website. You get on the email list, and every morning, you are going to have the video delivered to your inbox. You're going to have the daily Bible reading delivered to your inbox. We're also going to have a daily worship YouTube video in that package, just one of the songs maybe that we sing here or a song that is really impacting people, just for you to be able to spend some time in worship if you want to. And we're going to have that. We're going to go in it together. The other thing, parents, that we're going to be adding in, and I'm going to make sure it's in there, is we're going to have a section for our kids every single day. And every day we're going to talk about a different truth of who God is. And it'll just be a couple point forms, but God's really been talking to me about it. We're going to talk more about this here. But the call on parents to raise our kids to know God and follow God. Can't just leave it in the church's hands. Leave it in somebody else's hands, but it's us saying, okay, we're going to. So this is just a real simple way for us even to take our kids and to talk through some of the things of God. But see, in the middle of this all, as we bring this to a close, these things are all connected to this heart. These things are all connected to this heart that's saying, I want to build an altar. I want to live an altered life. As we come into 2019, I want to go after the plans and the purposes and the calling of God. But it's going to happen as I build an altar in my life, as I build an altar in our family, as we build an altar in a fresh way in our church family, and we offer our lives. We offer ourselves. We surrender as these sacrifices to Him, these sacred living sacrifices. And so just as we close, I want to pray for you today. We're not going to do necessarily a lot of altar and response time today. There's going to be lots of that through this entire series, over the next couple Sundays, over the next Friday nights. We're going to have lots of prayer. We're going to have a lot of time to seek God. But today is really about laying the foundation and committing to do this. And so I know many of you have already signed up. And maybe some people haven't already, but if you're committed to join in these 21 days, again, there's different layers and different levels to commit in. It's not meant to be a legalistic thing, but it's a challenge for us to go deeper. And I think we'd all agree, fasting, praying, reading the Word of God, gathering together to seek God, these are just everyday things we should be doing as believers. But if your commitment is saying, I know my heart, I'm part of this. I'm part of what God's doing, and I'm part of what He wants to do in these 21 days. If that's you, I want you just to stand to your feet wherever you are today.